This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Hebrews 12:1, look what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Do you notice that, folks? He separated weight and sin. So there's things in our lives, it's not necessarily a sin, but it is a weight. It's pulling us down. It may not be a sin, but it's a weight. It's something that we shouldn't be doing, because what it's doing is just pulling us down. It may be something, it may be somebody, but it's just a weight. It's just pulling you down. It's just pulling you down. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to say this, folks. Every time in my life that I've been discouraged, I've been dismayed, I've been disenchanted, I've been depressed, every time in my life that I've been there, I always got my eyes on something or somebody other than Jesus. Can you relate to that? No, every time. But as long as I was looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, as long as hey, think about it. Peter walked on the water. Did you ever think about this? Peter walked on the water. Yeah. And as long as, whether you believe it or not, as long as he was keeping his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. And I'm not hard on him. He still holds the record for walking on water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. You say, well, he failed. I know that. But I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Amen. He got out there. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Lord, I bow my head in your presence. I pray today that you'll speak to me and through me. And God, for all you do, I'm going to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a dependent heart, because I pray this prayer in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about overcoming the lines in your life. Overcoming the lines in your life. I heard about a man that needed a job, and he was searching diligently for a job, and he tried everywhere to try to get a job, so he eventually goes down to the zoo. And he says down at the zoo, he said, I'm just hunting a job. Could you use anybody? And he said, well, the zookeeper said, we really don't need anybody, but it's ironic that you would come at this time, because our gorilla died yesterday. Our gorilla died, and we don't have time to get another gorilla, but what we have is a costume. And if you would be interested in putting the costume on and beating your chest and swinging from the vines, we believe we can give you some work. We just need you simply to act and be like a gorilla. And he said, well, I don't have a job. I'll take the job. So he took the job and he put on the costume, and he was just acting like a gorilla, and he was doing a great job. And people would come. They were from a distance, and they'd take pictures and everything. It was wonderful. It was going great. One day he was swinging from the vines, and people started clapping and applauding, and he got so excited he swung too far. And literally he swung and went out of the fence and landed over in the lion's den. Oh yeah, it was bad. It was bad. He landed over in the lion's den, and he started screaming, help, help, help. And the lion just kept getting closer and closer and closer. Help, help, help. And finally, the lion stopped, and he heard the lion say these words: if you don't shut up, we're both going to lose our jobs. Now, I'm not necessarily a hunter, but I've spoken quite a bit for this Bible college in South Carolina, and they said, we want to do something for you. And I said, okay, that'd be great. And they said, we want to take you and we want to provide a bear hunt for you. We want you to go on this bear hunt. And so I go on this bear hunt and spent about a week up near Canada. Literally, it was a great experience. I'm looking for bear, and I didn't kill one, but I had a great time hunting the bear. And there was a pastor on the trip, and his name was Tom Mullins. And Tom Mullins said, Pastor Benny, I want you to go on a hunt with me. I said, you want me to go on a hunt with you? He said, I really do. I said, what kind of hunt are we going on? He said, we're going to Africa. I said, we're going to Africa. I said, Tom, what would we be hunting in Africa? He said, we're going to be hunting lions over in Africa. I said, lions. I did a little research, and I found out that lions can weigh as much as 570 pounds. I found out that lions can run at 50 miles per hour. I found out that you can hear a lion's roar for 5 miles. That's 88 football fields. I found out that lions can literally leap 30 feet. I found out that lions' eyesight is 5 times greater than human beings. I did all that research. And by the way, folks, I'm some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. Amen. And I've just decided I'm not going to go lion hunting. I'm just not going to go. I'm just not going to go. But you know, it was something, it wasn't real unusual. It wasn't real unusual for men in the Bible to kill lions. You remember Samson? Samson, he killed a lion. Later he went back and got the honey out of the carcass and ate the honey. You remember David? David was a man. He killed, remember, the lion tried to get his sheep, and David killed the lion with his bare hands. There was a man by the name of Benaiah. Benaiah literally went into a pit on a snowy day, and Benaiah killed a lion. And then we all know the familiar story of Daniel and how Daniel survived the lions. But you know, it's not always that way. It's not always that way. Because if we went to the Colosseum in Rome, it's literally, even to this day, it's the largest standing amphitheater in the world. Can handle 80,000 people. 40 different galleries surround this oval arena. And what they would do in the Colosseum in Rome, they would have sporting events. And literally, there would be kings, there would be senators, there would be dignitaries, but then there would just be everyday normal people that would gather into the Colosseum in Rome. The building would be literally, the facility would literally be full, and they would blow a trumpet. That was the indicator that the games were going to begin. When the trumpet was blown, there would be a deadly silence, because a Roman soldier would take a Christian out into the middle of the arena. He would place a sword in that Christian's hand and walk back, because below those galleries were caged lions, and those lions hadn't eaten in days, and they would release a lion, and that lion would come at the Christian. And the Christian would literally battle the lion with that sword. And if the Christian killed the lion, another lion would simply be released until the Christian was dead. And then they would bring a cart, and they literally had a gate that was referred to as the gate of death. And that Christian, once was they were dead, they were put on that cart and they walked out the gate of death. Paul was very familiar with it. The reason why Paul was so familiar is he was a Roman citizen. He knew of the games. That's why in his writings he spoke of wrestling. That's why in his writings he spoke of running the race. That's why in his writings he talked about fighting the good fight. Now here's all I want to say. I want to remind you of two things, just laying a foundation and groundwork to preach. The first thing I want to remind you of today is this. This world is our Colosseum. This world is our Colosseum. This world is our arena. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, we're in a battlefield. This world is our arena. We're not on a Sunday school picnic. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. We're in warfare. And right in this arena, the Bible tells us in Matthew 5:13, that we are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:14 says, we are to be the light of the world. See, I want you to know something. I want you to know something. We're in this world in contact, but we shouldn't be in this world in conduct. We ought to be different. And I want to report to you, we'll not make a difference in this world until we are different. And I am convinced the church is too worldly and the world is too churchy. And God's called us to be a separated, peculiar, different people. The Bible says, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them and be ye separate. I just want to report to you that this world is our Colosseum. I want you to know something else. Every Christian has lions to fight. Every Christian has lions to fight. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's why 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. That's why Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know why Nehemiah 4:14 says to every one of us, fight for your family? Because the devil wants to destroy your family. The devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy your influence. The devil wants to destroy your life. The devil literally wants to destroy people, ladies and gentlemen. You say, I'm not having a hard time right now. Listen closely. He'll lie in the weeds for 40 years to trap one of God's servants. He'll lie in the weeds for 40 years to trap one of God's servants. We've got an enemy, ladies and gentlemen. He is strategic. He literally has come to steal, kill, and destroy. When I think about the great men of God, Apostle Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. Timothy struggled with fear. Thomas struggled with doubt. Peter with pride. David with lust. Jonah with disobedience. And the list goes on. All I want to say is every Christian has lions to fight. Every Christian has lions to fight. You say, well, I'm doing good. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'll promise you, when you think you're doing so well, you're just real close to getting in trouble. Now, wait just a minute. I want you to see something. I'm laying the foundation to preach. I know what you're thinking. My goodness, if this is the foundation, how long? Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith chapter. Get this, because if you don't get this, you won't get the message. Hebrews chapter 11, he lists the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the faith that are already in heaven. He lists Abraham. He lists Moses. He lists Noah, Enoch, Sarah, Joseph. He lists all those that have gone on. In Hebrews 11, to get this. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says, wherefore seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, wait, they've gone on and we're compassed about with all these wonderful witnesses. Now, here's what I want you to understand something. Here's what I want you to understand. It's so important that you get this. The Christian has lines to fight. The Christian has lines to fight. But I want you to know, our help is in the gallery. Our help is in the galleries. Just as there were galleries in the Roman Colosseum, there's some galleries. And our help is in the galleries. Now, the first gallery that I want us to look at is the gallery of the king. Because in the first gallery is where the king sat. It's where the emperor sat. It's where Nero would have sat. It's where Tiberius would have sat. But I've got good news. We have a king who's in our gallery. We have a king that's in the gallery. And I just want to remind you of something. The king that's in the gallery, he's put a weapon in our hands. Just as that sword was placed in that Christian's hand in the Roman Colosseum, I want to report to you, our king has put a weapon in our hands. Ephesians 6 and 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Ladies and gentlemen, our weapon is the Word of God. I love what Teddy Roosevelt said. He said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." I want to report to you that the Word of God will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Word of God. I want to report to you that Psalms 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God." Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Folks, you have access to a great weapon. You have access to a great weapon. You have access to a great weapon, and that weapon is God's Word. 1 John 4 and 4. Well, you've got a 44. 1 John 4 and 4. "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." How did Jesus put the devil on the run in Matthew chapter 4? Simply through the Word of God. I'm not going to camp here, but I'll tell you what I know. The scripture I memorize is the scripture I utilize. And I'm so glad that my king placed a weapon in my hand. Now, let me tell you something. You couldn't get the emperor of Rome in the arena. You couldn't get the emperor of the Rome to leave the gallery and get down into the arena. But I've got good news. Our king, he got down in the arena. Because John 1:14 says, "He was made flesh and he dwelt among us." I want to report to you, he came out of the gallery. He came out of the gallery and he is with us. So when we feel forsaken, he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee," in Hebrews 13 and 5. When we feel like we're in great trouble, he said in Psalms 46 and 1, "I am your very present help in the time of trouble." When we get sick, he comes out of the gallery, and I'm so grateful, ladies and gentlemen, he is our great physician. When we don't know what to do, John 14 and 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You said, "Pastor, I'm battling a lion," but I'll tell you something. Jesus came out of the gallery. Oh, goodness gracious. Jesus came out of the gallery and he's with us. You know, there was a man in the Bible, his name was Daniel, and they told Daniel he couldn't pray anymore to Yahweh. But he knew that Psalms 55 verses 16 and 17 taught the Jewish people that three times a day they were going to look toward Jerusalem and pray. And Daniel said, "No, I'm going to keep on praying." I'm going to keep on praying. And those men said, King Darius, there's a decree. You've got to put him in the lion's den. You got to put him in the lion's den. By the way, these were vicious lions because if you read the story, they ripped men's bodies apart. If you read the end of the chapter, there were some men put in this very same den, and before their feet even hit the ground, the lions ripped their bodies apart. But Daniel was put in the lion's den, and that king couldn't sleep. And the next morning, he said, "Oh, Daniel, are you still alive?" And Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever." He said, "Because, oh, king, something happened during the night. They were lions all about me, but the Lion of Judah..." "They were lions all about me, but the Lion of Judah, he came down here and he closed their mouths up." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you may have lions in your life, but I'm so grateful that the king comes out of the gallery and he helps us. Oh, I won't report to you. That's just gallery one. Let me move. Then there's gallery two. There's a second gallery. Well, now Pastor, who's in gallery two? Well, the angels are in gallery two. Do you realize 273 times angels are mentioned in the Bible? 273 times angels. Pastor, how many angels are there? Well, Hebrews 12 and 2 says they're innumerable. That means there's so many you can't count them. There's things we don't know. There's things we don't know. I don't know why you eat three square meals and end up round, but we do, amen? But I know in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, on one occasion there was 100 million angels. I know angels are here, according to Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12, to protect us and take care of us and watch over us. When were angels created? Well, real early. Because Psalms 38 and 7 says, when God laid the foundations of the world. When in Job, when God laid the foundations of the world, the angels sang and shouted for joy. They sang and shouted for joy. You say, Pastor, what do angels do? Psalms 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about him that fear him. Hey, look here. That's me. Let's say that's you. But that's us. This is what angels do. I wish that somebody would help me preach. I wish somebody would help me. I wish somebody enjoyed this. I wish somebody would help me today. That's what angels do. And you know, Matthew 18 and 10 says that we have a specific guardian angel to watch over us and take care of us. You say, you've got to be kidding. No, that's what the Bible. Oh, you say, I'm battling lions. Oh, I know you're battling lions, but you've got a gallery. And in that first gallery, the king's in the gallery. And he's willing to come down and get in the arena. No, but you've got a second gallery, and angels are in the gallery. After I became a Christian, the first book I read after becoming a Christian, it was written by Billy Graham in 1975. It was called Angels, Angels, Angels. Other than the Bible, that's the first book I read as a Christian believer. Angels, Angels, Angels. And Billy Graham told a story in that book. It was a story about a doctor. He was a neurologist. His name was S.W. Mitchell. He was a Philadelphia neurologist. And Dr. S.W. Mitchell said it was a snowy night, and I'd retired and I'd gone home and I was in bed. And he said, somebody started knocking on my door. And he said, I went to the door. And I looked, and there was a little girl there, and she had this little coat on. And she said, Doctor, I want you to come to my house because my mother's real sick. my mommy's real sick. And Dr. Mitchell said, I got my bag and I went through the snow and I went to that house and I treated that mother. I treated that mother. I helped that mother. I got really preoccupied with trying to help that mother. And he said, I said to that mother, you're going to be okay. And he said that. And then I said to her, I wouldn't have known about your sickness had not your little girl had came and got me. And that mother said, my little girl. My little girl died a month ago. But the coat you spoke of that she was wearing, it's hanging there in the closet. And Dr. S.W. Mitchell said he opened up the closet and there hang the coat. You said, Pastor, I have a problem with that story. I don't have any problem. See, I've learned if you can handle Genesis 1 and 1, you can handle it all. You say, well, Pastor, I need some scriptural basis for that story. Oh, I'm going to give it to you. Just hold on. Hebrews 13 and 2. Some have entertained angels unaware. Some have entertained angels unaware. Pastor, many of you had an angelic encounter? Yes, I have. I talk about it in the book, Defy the Odds. You say, you literally think you encountered an angel. I know unequivocally I encountered an angel, and I talk about it in the book, Defy the Odds. Let me give you the last gallery, and I'm done. It's the gallery of saints. It's the gallery of saints. You say, what are you talking about? Wait. Hebrews 12 and 1 says this. Wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Remember, chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith chapter. It's about the saints. And then chapter 12 says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's it talking about? It's talking about the saints. It's talking about the saints that have gone on. Look what he says. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight which doeth so easily beset us. Let us run. Let us run. Let me tell you something. You said, Pastor, the people in heaven, they don't know what's happening down here on earth. I don't really know where you get that. Because Luke 15 and 10 says, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Yes. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. They were in heaven and they knew what was going on earth. Let me tell you something. Heaven's cheering us on. Heaven's cheering us on. I believe Noah's saying, I tell you what, folks, stay in the fight. Stay in the race. I believe if Noah's got a word for us, that word would be one person can make a difference. I believe Joseph would have a word for us, and I believe Joseph would say, don't you ever give up on your dream. I believe David would say, stay in the race and don't let people put limitations on you. I believe Esther would say, don't you miss God's plan for your life. Don't you miss God's plan for your life. I've pastored here for decades. I've officiated a lot of funerals for people that have gone on. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe they're there cheering me on. I believe they're there cheering me on. See, my biological father, I just knew him a short time. My biological father said these words to me. He said, I'm dying. I'm dying. And he said, I so regret that I spent no time with you here. But maybe we can spend heaven with one another. I believe my biological father would say, you tell people, no matter how big a mess they've made of their lives, God can still forgive them. God can still forgive them. I had a grandmother. Her name was Rena McBride. She never left the little county that she lived in. Why has Benny Tate such a sticker about reaching people? Granny was in her 70s before Granny gave her life to the Lord. I believe Granny would say, you tell them it's never too late. You tell them it's never too late. You tell them it's never too late. Keep believing that God can save people. Greatest prayer warrior I ever met was a lady by the name of Renice Roberts. I believe she'd say, you tell them there's power in prayer. You keep praying. Every battle is won on your knees. Every battle is won on your knees. I had a stepfather by the name of Don Mason who believed in me. And I believe he would say, you just keep believing in people. Benny, you keep believing in people. Now here, we got lines to fight. You've got lines to fight. I've got lines to fight. But I've got good news. We're going to win. I've got good news. We're going to win. I've got good news. We're going to win because we've got a weapon. And our weapon is the Word of God. And it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're going to win against those lines because guess what? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's coming out of the gallery. He's going to get in the battle with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And the devil is no match for him. I wonder how many times, folks, I had a close call. I wonder how many times I'd be driving down the road, you know, go over on somebody and just not happen to be anybody. I wonder how many times I wasn't looking and I didn't realize it. That a angel was just... Glory be to God! Be to God. You know what I believe? I believe maybe a mom, maybe a dad, maybe a brother, maybe a child. They're there in heaven. They're just cheering us on. They're just cheering us on. They're just saying, stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. Stay in the arena. Don't quit. Listen. God took him. He didn't take you. God took her. He didn't take you. And if you're not dead, God's not done. If you're not dead, God's not done. We just need to stay in the battle. When I realize today that the King has given me a weapon, that weapon's the Word of God. When I realize the King is with me, when I realize angels are encamped all about me, and when I realize the saints are cheering me on, the saints are cheering me on, it's no time to quit, folks. It's no time to retire. It's time to refire. It's time to dig in and do more than we've ever done for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that if a mosquito would bite me, I believe it would leave singing, there's power in the blood. Oh, folks, can we just stand? Hey. Don't it make you, after hearing this today, it makes me want to go devil hunting. Oh, listen, after hearing this today, it makes me want to go devil hunting with a switch. Amen? Oh, he's no match for Jesus. The devil's no match for Jesus. I want to report to you, when Jesus gets through with the devil, his tooth fairy will need a wheelbarrow. Amen? He's no match for the devil. He's no match for Jesus. One more time, folks. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just stop. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just stop. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just stop. Let's just praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.